Welcome to the We Have a Meeting podcast, where we sit down with the world's smartest thinkers to give you the actionable tools, insights, and strategies that could make your life more impactful and productive. This week, we have a meeting with...
One of my first statements I say to Candice is, let me into your life. Like, if I'm representing you, I need to know all about you. So we've got a rule in our office that you need to have an erection 80% of the time, especially if you're in sales school. So if you've not got me, you're not going to get through to me.
When recruiters talk so much about dynamic, fast-paced startups, are they just referring to their erection?
I actually did that with my mum once. I did it in gravy on Christmas Day. She did a really good roast dinner, and I had no other way of telling her how great it was, so... You know, I've got stiffy and I'm not the gravy boat over.
Will Grasser, thanks for being here.
Right, who am I and what problem do I solve? So I'm Will Grasser and I solve a multitude of problems. First one probably being unhappiness. So I try to make people happy. In a variety of different ways, and different people in my life I make happy in different ways. So for example, my wife, I make her happy through sexual gratification. My mum, I make her happy in a very different way, like probably she's proud of me for different reasons, but I've never sexually gratified her. And then from a business perspective, I do recruitment, so, you know, I know we talk about solving problems, but really, in the grand scheme of things, people don't really need recruiters. We're a very, very overly aggressive middleman, which, if we're honest with ourselves, is unnecessary. So I wouldn't say I necessarily solve problems per se, from a business sense. I know the next question as well. It's problems or bread? Problems or bread? Is that okay?
Wow. Good. A bit thrown.
I get quite intense and excited sometimes. I've obviously seen a lot of your videos. I saw the one of you, Rory Sutherland, brilliant. The one of Ken Chang, awful. Terrible human being.
If you want to, you
should. Is it me or you?
You go.
It's really thrown me. Okay.
Sorry, guys. Sorry.
No. Well, it's all right. Well, look. Let's start off. And obviously, we want this to be a actionable podcast for the recruiters out there.
Yeah.
So, outside of generic things like CVs, how can recruiters maybe learn a bit more about their candidates?
So something I've tried quite a lot is adding candidates on Snapchat or social media and trying to really break down barriers. Like, one of my first questions statement I say to candidates is, let me into your life. Like, if I'm representing you, I need to know all about you. I need to know where you live, what you do, who you're friends with, where you hang around on a Friday. Ideally, what sits beneath the clothes. At first, there was a bit of pushback. I had this guy last week who was a bit reluctant to send the pictures, but when he did, I just found it make for such a better, deeper kind of relationship. And suffice to say, I placed him. He was a really good accountant, and, you know, put him into a great firm, top four firm actually. And ever since then, we keep in touch. I'm meeting him later for a drink. So it's, I think, getting to know your candidates in a very deep, methodical way is seems obvious, but it's true. You need to know every inch of a candidate's body in order to place them, I feel.
Right. I'll go.
Will, Where are you, mate? Because there's a lot of, like, background noise.
Sorry, do you know Birmingham well?
Bits.
Okay, so, you know, in the train station, there's left an all bar one, Well, I'm in Bat. I'm just, so the toilets are literally just there. They said I wasn't allowed in the main bar area if I'm using the Wi-Fi. So I'm actually sat on a couple of yellow pages just outside, disabled toilet. So we're getting a bit of
a cigarette machine behind it.
No, it's not actually. It's a picture.
Sugar. Okay. Right. Let's crack on because we want people to get the most out of this. So I've heard a rumor, and I don't know how much truth there is to the rumor, but certain job roles make you more attractive in the eyes of the sex that you're attracted to. Could be the opposite sex, could be the same sex. What are your thoughts? True or false? Does being a recruiter make you more attractive or not?
Being a female recruiter, definitely. A male recruiter, not so much. So I find most female recruiters are instantly more attractive because they're intelligent, they're dynamic, they're funny, they know what they want, they're driven, they're sassy, they're sexy, they're all of those things. I've been called this quite a lot. Actually, my mum called me last week. She said you're a lazy, fat failure of a recruiter. And I wish you did something proper. And I like at the time, you know, we were all sat around dinner table. I was like, "Mom, come on." And she said, "No, you really are the shame of the family." And my brother's been in prison twice, so like, it's not ideal, really. But I do feel as though women bring a certain I call it professional sexiness to the table. So you know, when you see a woman dressed head to toe in Zara, like a nice little petite blouse, which is quite tight, and makeup on, maybe glasses. Glasses do make them look sexy. The hair done, they smell nice. But it's a whole new level of, in my opinion, sexiness. Whereas blokes can't do that. You know, most blokes wear washcloth suits. They smell of Dior Sauvage, which just isn't sexy. It smells like vomit. So, yeah.
So, do you think you're attractive, Will?
It may sound arrogant saying it, but I feel for my age, you've got a good head of hair. I'm okay. I would say 6 out of 10 facially, 2 out of 10 body, terrible body, really, really bad body, pointy nipples, big belly, and overly wide buttocks, but facially, probably quite good. I don't know.
I'd agree. And it's just interesting because you put very attractive recruiter under your name. So it says Will Grassoff, and underneath you put very attractive recruiter. So I'm guessing that's just positive attitude.
Yeah, well, the reason I do that is obviously from a accessibility perspective, people who are watching who are blind, obviously that'll get read out. It will say Will Grassoff, very attractive recruiter. So when they hear that back, they'll conjure an image in their mind of someone who's very attractive, and they probably will naturally imagine something very similar. So yeah,
you've got one of those voices. I wouldn't mind you reading to me at night. I mean, that's your conversation at other time, but anyway, I think one of the things that I wanted to talk about while I've got you is how important is being neurodivergent on your CV to make sure that you get placed as quickly as possible?
So as recruiters, we've got a very big like golden rule, and it's almost unspoken, but neurodiversity is bollocks. So we have regular meetings where we all agree that, you know, no, you've not got ADHD, you're just a twat, you're just annoying, you know, you speak too fast, you can't sit still. It's not ADHD, you're just annoying. And the same with other stuff, really, as well. Like, mental health doesn't really exist. Let's be honest. It's far more a case of, you know, I'm trying to get to work today, I'm not feeling very well, oh, my mental health. It's all bollocks. So I would strongly suggest that people don't put on their CVs if they've got any form of neurodiversity, because it's bollocks. It's just rubbish. So if I see the acronym ADHD on a CV in the bin, I don't want to represent someone who could potentially, I don't know, shoot it for school, because it'll reflect badly on me. So,
okay, and I guess it's a polarizing viewpoint, Will. I saw let me share this with you. I saw this on the news the other day. It came up on my phone. It said, "It's devastating." That was the quote. How Britain's biggest companies are locking people out of jobs for personality tests. Now, as a recruiter, obviously you must have like a range of tools. What's done with it being topical? What's your take on it?
Well, look, I feel as though locking them out of anything is not right. I think if anything, should be locked into something. Cages, prisons, castles. That would be a misnomer, because bless them, and bless their little hearts, they're not bad people, really. It's not their fault. They're just not quite, I don't know how to say it, like the full ticket, I'm not sure. But I feel as though what we should do, and this is what I would do, I'd create restaurants, right, where everybody who works there, we only serve one dish, the scrambled egg and plain white toast, but they do it very well. So it's, you know, we're not asking them to do a hot dog, a stir fry, just scrambled egg and toast, but do it well. We'll call it, and just get them in there, get them doing something, public facing, get them speaking to the general public, get them cooking, get them near hot stoves, get them handling knives, get just to, like, integrate them into society. I think that'd be really good.
Okay, let's move on from that, and like let's see how it looks in the post production. High testosterone. Why is it so important in recruitment?
Good question. So, to be an effective recruiter, you need to be switched on over time. So we've got a rule in our office that, and this is mainly from blokes, that you need to have an erection 80% of the time, especially for doing sales calls. So if you've not got stiffy, you're not going to get through to people. Like, gatekeepers can sense flaccidity. So when you're calling up a gatekeeper or whatever, and you're trying to get through, they can sense you've got a floppy dick. So if you get your testosterone in early doors, have a couple of hymns in the morning with your fryer, and get hard as fuck, like painfully hard, and then do your sales calls. You'll get through to so many more people. And I think we did a test, conversion rates of erection and on erection, and the erection section won by so much. It was a real landslide. So I think testosterone is really important. And obviously for women as well, or people who identify as women, you know, there are other ways of stimulating them. And we've tried a number of things. So one of the things I like to do with women in the office to kind of get them going is make them stand up when doing the sales calls, and I'll just go behind them, and I'll very gently just kiss their neck either side whilst they're doing sales calls. So if they're talking to a prospect or whatever, they've got the comfort of me, but they can feel my warm breath on their back, on the back of their neck. They can kind of hear me, they can smell me, they can it's like a real gentle way of getting people going and kind of, you know, getting them to really excel in their job. And that's what I think I've done well. I've tried to introduce it to other workplaces. I spent some time in a number of different companies and tried that method. They didn't go down too well. In fact, in the first day I was out, which I didn't really ready for it. So yeah.
I don't think we've ever quite had an episode like this, so I'm going to apologise to our editor at this point. But you have raised an interesting point. When recruiters talk so much about dynamic, fast-paced startups, are they just referring to their erection?
Yeah, so that's actually like a code we use. So whenever you see the word dynamic in a job description or an advert, it's actually referring to a stiffy. So, you know, don't be fooled by it. You know how, like, all the groups in America do all that kind of thing? So we have something similar in improvements. So dynamic means stiffy. And what else have we got? So we've got fast-paced means premature ejaculation. We've got loads. Yeah, we've got loads and loads, actually. Trying to think of some other ones. So if we, you know, when we say, like, we want somebody trustworthy who can be part of a team, that actually refers to having stiffies in public. So we'll only hire someone if they're capable of maintaining an erection for more than 6 hours a day in public. If they can't, no point. Just sack them off straight away.
Wow. Okay. Well, I suppose then if we're talking about different myths and preconceptions, we mentioned high testosterone, but what about being high? Cocaine, is it in or out this season?
It's difficult to say. And I'll be honest, I've never, ever, and generally this is true, I've never tried cocaine in my life. I'd have a panic attack. It would just be so bad. I've done ibuprofen before, but never cocaine. I know personally a lot of people who do like cocaine and will use it recreationally on a daily basis. And they're some of the best recruiters out there. You look at some of the largest businesses in the UK, it's all driven through cocaine and phenobic. You know, it can get performance going, gets the heart racing, and, you know, it can get people. I mean, that does directly affect the erection, the cocaine part of it. But yeah, I would say cocaine is very much in. It always will be as well. It's a real rock star drug. Aspirational drug, if anything, but not for me. I'm too sensitive, but listen.
Okay. You've changed your banner there. Never mind. So I want to talk to you, obviously, about something business owners we've come across is relationships in the offer.
Yeah, you do have
awesome.
Yeah.
What are you? I mean, recruiters, as you know, if they're walking around with erections, it'd be. What's your take on?
Yeah, I think it's important. I think fornication in the office is so important for a number of reasons, because actually I can't think of a better place for a child to be conceived than in the recruitment office, because it you kind of get them like used to the environment they're going to grow up in and they're going to thrive in, you know. So We actually insist on you know, daily fucking. Because, like I said, with the erections, it has to go somewhere. What goes up must come down. And we have a little game we play, which is basically once you achieve a certain amount of kind of, you know, sales calls and you get through them. She initially was hesitant to it. She wasn't too keen on doing it, but actually after a period of time she began to enjoy it, she began to thrive, and she became her best self. So what we tend to do is you know, after five or six kind of completed sales calls, you get to then go, and if she's ever off sick or you know isn't you have like an on-call phone. We have like we call it the on-call arsehole, where we will provide lube. That is part of it. You don't have to expense it. That is in the office already, where you just bum. You just bum away. You bum till you come. So, yeah, I think it's important in the office to have that level of closeness. And it's team bonding as well. Like, what brings you... What can bring you closer to your, like, teammate than... So, yeah.
talk to me about CVs. How do you stand out in 2025 with a, let's just keep it on track with a question. How do you spend that in 2025 with a good CV?
Large bosoms. So you need to put a picture on of yourself with some form of breast showing. Doesn't have to be nipples. You can have a hint of areola. But just do that. Like, blokes, don't worry about it. Like, just don't even bother applying. If you're a woman and you want to get ahead in life, you just need to put bosoms in there. Because I don't know if you know, but biologically, men are programmed to be attracted to bosoms, because the cleavage reminds men of buttocks. So like when we were like Neanderthals, like, I don't know, like Victorian times, we just used to do a lot of doggy style. And it reminds, like the bum reminds men of the breasts. So put that on your CV and you're very likely to get a job. If you're a bloke, so put a picture, it's a bit gay. Don't bother. Just talk to your mates and get a job. I don't even bother doing a CV or anything, I would say.
So I think Jack's probably going to kill me, but I just want to round off the erection piece. Is that all right, Will? There's just probably one more point to make clear. So the recruitment consultants themselves, it's important to be erect. In terms of interviewing yourself, so me turning up to the office for my first like face-to-face interview, should I be erect for the actual interview itself? Is that something you would advise? Or
it's a good question. I wouldn't always say go straight in stiff. Like, I think it's really like it's almost like a compliment to the interviewer if you go in flaccid and within 4 or 5 minutes you are erect. Like, do you know, I like you. It's like a very public display of, like, you know, oh yeah, you're great. Look, you know, look at this. You've charmed me for your interview technique, and I came in soft and I'm leaving hard. So I would say, you know, but I'll always judge on merit. If you're going into an interview and you're a very attractive female, I think it would look very good to go instantly hard. So you walk in and you can say, oh yeah, I'll have a cup of coffee or whatever, we have a coffee or water, and then you have it on the table, and then you assess, or like you swivel your body, but you actually knock it off with your erection. Like, I think that's a real like alpha play there. Like, watch this. Like, watch. Obviously, clean it up afterwards. Well, I think, you know, that will go down really well. Most HR people would love that. I think they would take that as a massive compliment, and, you know, a real self-esteem boost. And do you know what women these days need? That they need a little bit of a self-esteem boost. And I'm struggling to think of ways other than doing that but you could give them that self-esteem boost. You know, just knock a boiling hot coffee over with your erection, to tell them you think they're great. I actually did it on my mum once. I did it with gravy on Christmas Day. She did a really good roast dinner, and I obviously, being in my head, no other way of like telling her how way it was. So, you know, I got stiffy and I knocked the gravy boat over. I said, watch this, bosh. My dad and my brother, they got it. They knew what I was doing. They kind of like, you know, like a bit like, they didn't say it, but they just looked at me, like nodded, like, yeah, I can see what you've done there. You've done the old erection knockoff trick. And yeah, it brought us closer. Always does.
So then obviously, a lot of people will be out there wanting to make their erection stand out from all the rest of the erections that are out there. Is it important to name your erection? And if so, do you have a good name for yours that makes you stand out in the, I don't know, the SaaS market or something like that?
If you're doing, like, I don't know, accountancy or legal or professional services, probably call it, I don't know, something a bit more Walter. This is Walter. This is Derek, the erection. This is Claude. This is Claude, my meat friends. But again, they get it, they relate to it. So I went to see a client in London, who, they were in the legal services sector. And of course, I walked on the stiffy. They said, who's that? I said, this is my friend Richmond. I said, Richmond? They were like, after the sausage? I was like, no, the place, the location. And obviously West London, money, they're like, oh, okay, cool, I got it. So again, instant rapport building. And I think it's so important to build rapport really quickly. So yeah.
Right. We'll let you go, Will. But we'll put everything below, and obviously I hope it all works out for you. And I'm sorry for what's probably going to come after this episode comes out. Cheers, mate.
Our books are now open. Friends, Romans, countrymen, if you're looking for more sales, and that might be getting more meetings in the diary, meeting more of the right types of people, or breaking into a new area or sector, we've got you covered in two key ways. Number one, we can do it for you. We can kick the doors down, get you the meetings, and do the prospecting that you hate. Or number two, we can teach you how we do it so you can do it for yourselves, creating repeatable, predictable results. So if you're interested in either of those things, www.wehaveameeting.com and hit the contact us form. Speak to you soon.